Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our next guest is Rachel Levin. She's the author of a new book. It's a fun book. It's called Look Big and Other Tips for Surviving Animal Encounters of All Kinds. It's a fun guide, explains how to avoid interactions with 50 of the most feared, some of them are just frustrating animals and insects. And I'd love to hear about your close encounters, maybe some that you've had with animals, and maybe you have some questions about avoiding confrontations. You can join in our conversation. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Rachel Levin joining us by phone today. Rachel, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I got some good chuckles out of your book and reading about some of the experiences.
Oh, good.
And it just came to mind many of the experiences I've had with animals over the years, because I've had experiences, interesting ones, with black bear and groundhog and wolves, a wolf.
Oh, I'd love to hear them.
A squirrel, and I've got tons of them. So how in the heck, you know, you're a food and travel writer primarily. How'd you get involved with writing a book about animal encounters? I want to know.
It is funny. My main gig right now is as a restaurant critic. So the correlation between food and animals, I guess, is only there if you consider that they're eating all our leftovers and they shouldn't be. I guess I just thought this book idea came about for a variety of reasons, mainly, a couple winters ago, I was cross-country skiing outside Breckenridge, Colorado, by myself in the woods, gliding along, and all of a sudden, right in front of me, blocking my path, was a ginormous moose. And I had never seen a moose. I'm from San Francisco. We don't have moose here. So I had no idea what to do. And I just stared at him. He stared at me. And eventually I did what you're not supposed to do. I turned my back, and I glided away. It was okay. But so that was one run-in, and I trail run a lot, and I'm always worried about a mountain lion mauling me, and we have raccoons rummaging in our trash here in the city, and ants all over our house when it rains. And I just realized all this information all belongs in one place. What to do about all these things? I should put it in one spot.
So you've got all those things at once. Maybe talk about how the book is laid out, and the illustrations are really beautiful. I wondered if you worked with Jeff Osberg, or maybe the publisher did that.
Yeah, no, we totally lucked out. I love the way his illustrations turned out. The publisher and I kind of went out and looked up all different illustrators, trying to find the kind of style we wanted, and his tone was perfect. It was kind of sort of Boy Scouty retro, but also current and fun. And I love the way it turned out. He did such a good job. So thank you. So the book is organized by alphabetical order of various animals, 50 different animals, from ants to alligators, mountain lions to mosquitoes. and then mixed in throughout, are about a few, like 10 or so different quick tales from various writers about their own encounters with animals, the harrowing, hilarious, infuriating kinds of encounters we have every day. So I think all in, it's a fun mix of tips and tales, and I've heard people are learning a lot. So that's helpful.
And it was a lot of fun. And like I said, it did call to mind. When you mentioned the moose, I thought right away of an elk. I was golfing in a tournament in Saskatchewan, Canada, and going from one spot to another, and on the trail, I bump into a mom elk and her little one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And that's not a very good thing at all to have happen.
You don't want to be with the mom. No. You don't want to run into mama animals with their pets. That's the worst kind of thing. What did you do? What happened?
Well, I stood there for a bit. I could tell the mother elk was not happy with me there. So I sort of slowly backed away.
Sounds good. It sounds like the right thing to do.
I didn't turn around and rush away in horror, but I sort of slowly backed away and then kind of went around. And later people said, oh, my God, you ran into a mother elk with her little one. You are lucky you didn't get trampled.
Exactly. That's what my husband said to me when I said, I saw the moose, I said to the moose, please don't follow me. And then when I got home, my husband said, the moose wouldn't have followed you. It would have charged you.
It would run right over you. They're not small animals at all.
No. Oh, my God. It was the biggest animal I've ever seen that close up.
Greg in Highbridge has something for us. Let's go there. Greg, hi.
Hi. I worked in a state park for quite a few years and over time had several run-ins with black bears. My comment is, in my experience, the older ones and the younger ones don't seem to be too much of a threat. It's the adolescents that don't know any better.
But I bet you never got yourself between a cub and her mother.
Not that I know of.
Well, it makes sense. Adolescent bears and adolescent humans, both are a little erratic. You never know what you're going to get, I guess.
I've got to tell you, I had a black bear. My black bear story was I was on a musky fishing trip and we were camping at a park and it was off the beaten track for sure. And we got there late and unpacked in the rain and left, like as idiots, left our cooler out. And woke up in the night to a very large black bear that was actually had the cooler on its lap. It was sitting on its rump. And it was my Igloo ice cooler, and it was chomping down on one of the edges. Fortunately, it wasn't the edge with the lock on it. And so Jerry, my buddy, fishing buddy, was standing in the tent with the fly closed, but watching it, and the bear sees him and comes over and stands up on its hind legs. And at this point, Jerry's fairly tall, looked him right in the eye because he was that tall. At that moment, I had a knife, and I was not going to tackle the bear, but I was prepared to open a new doorway in the back of the tent. Should the bear decide to come in the front door?
Another one was waiting on the other side.
But he dropped back down and finally batted that cooler, and it rolled about five times, and it never opened.
Wow.
That's my bear story.
That's a good one. That would have made a good illustration, a bear with a cooler in its lap. What didn't happen?
And it was, I didn't have a camera out or anything. And so that's my bear story.
Tell the tale.
Greg, thanks for your story. Appreciate it. John in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of information for any listeners about cougars in southwest Wisconsin. Yeah. We, a few years ago, found cougar tracks on our logging trail. I had repeatedly warned my daughters if they did bump into a cougar not to run. And, of course, one of my daughters was jogging with her friend on one of our logging trails, bumped into a cougar. And,
oh my
God, they did what I told them not to do 100 times. They ended up running. They managed to escape the cougar. And I just wanted to say to any listeners that there are cougars in southwest Wisconsin. There have been numbers of increased sightings, even some with collars on. And I guess the best thing to do is not run, but possibly grab sticks or rocks or whatever you can and shout as loud as you can. I'll listen for your comments off your call.
All right.
That's right. That is terrifying. Oh, my God. That's my big fear. Running into a mountain lion and then running from it. Oh, my God. I'm glad they were okay. So, never run.
So in your book, you have something on mountain lions.
Do you? I do. Yeah, I definitely do, because those terrify me. As beautiful as they are, I don't ever need to see one, although I have seen one from a distance. But, yeah, do not run. Mountain lions are faster than you are. So basically, if you see a mountain lion, you're just supposed to try your very best to look big and very much alive, stand tall, stare the lion in the eye, open your coat. If you're with your kids, little kids, pick them up, but without bending over. And, yeah, yell, scream, throw water bottles, wave your arms, do whatever you've got, you know, whatever you've got, throw at them and you know, tell it to go away, and hopefully it does.
Yeah, there we go. You know, and now this is the information you have in the book about what to do. You didn't just dream this all up on your own here. You talked to a variety of experts, didn't you?
I did. That's what I love most. I love sort of delving into each animal and finding experts to talk to and call and get their input and their advice, because I clearly don't know. I wanted to know from the real, not, I didn't want to just search online. I wanted to talk to people who work with these animals and know these animals and hear what they would do. And so I did. I spoke to a bunch of people and mountain lions. I talked to some experts here in Northern California, and they had some really good inputs. And they did say, by the way, that it's, you know, they're very elusive animals. Most likely you're never going to see one. I mean, it's rare. A park ranger in here in Northern California at the National Park Seashore, I talked to him one day. He said in 24 years working for the Park Service there, he had never seen a mountain lion. He was waiting and waiting. And then the next day, I saw one.
The next day, you saw one.
Yeah. He comforted me, like, I'll never see one. I was like, phew. And then the next day, I saw one.
Well, I'll go back to moose for a minute, because I was with an organization on their board of directors, and we were in northern Minnesota for a meeting, and there was a little time off. One afternoon, we got the afternoon off, and it was anybody wanting to go to look and trek for a moose, to see a moose. So only a couple of us did, and we wandered and wandered and wandered through the swamps and so forth, never saw a moose. And then we get back and we find out that the rest of the people were on the bus headed from one place to another, and here was a moose about 10 yards off the road. So you never know what's going to happen. I tell you what, our guest today, by the way, is Rachel Levin. She's the author of Look Big and Other Tips for Surviving Animal Encounters of All Kinds. We'll be back to talk with her and hear your stories in a few minutes. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how to avoid unexpected encounters with animals and maybe some insects today. What to do if you can't avoid them. Our guest, Rachel Levin, is the author of a new book. It's called Look Big and Other Tips for Surviving Animal Encounters of All Kinds. Did you know that cows and horses are more deadly, at least cause more deaths, than bears and sharks? What questions do you have about animal encounters? Do you have a story to share? Love to hear those stories. I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And Rachel, we have Liz, who's been waiting a bit, from Southeast Wisconsin. So we'll go right to her. Liz, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I was just going to make the comment that my husband and I and a group of friends go four-wheeling up north, northern Wisconsin, southern Michigan every year. And we take aluminum kettles and a wooden spoon on each of our vehicles. And everything that we've run into, porcupine, bear, all sorts of wildlife, we just bang our kettles and we've never had any problems. Everything runs away from the sound. So if you're up north four-wheeling,
take an aluminum kettle and a wooden spoon on your utility vehicle.
Betsy and the kettle band.
I love that tip. I love that tip. I'll do it. That's not in the book, but it should be.
I love it.
Do you bang it, Liz? Do you bang it if you see the animal, or just in a preemptive move? You just walk around banging it.
So we just stop what we're doing, and there's eight of us that go, and we just stop and grab our kettles and start banging, and it runs.
Good for you, Liz. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. She mentioned porcupines, and I've been able to observe many porcupines in the wild. I had a friend who his dog got some porcupine quills in her face. Wasn't any fun at all. And you even talk in the book about how to get a porcupine quill out. And I thought, well, this is good information to have. I'm in porcupine country.
They are little cute guys from afar, but yeah, it tends to be dogs that get quilled more than humans. Dogs, there's a lot of dogs that just sort of walk right into it. Apparently they don't seem to learn. Even if there's some dogs I heard that just keep getting quilled all the time. They go back in the backyard and get quilled again. So basically, you know, you want to, they say don't try to do it yourself, you know, but yet what are you going to do? You're out in the wilderness. You're going to have to. They say to be quick because quills can puncture organs. So, you know, if your dog suddenly looks like more like a sea urchin than a dog, you got to get her to the vet.
Yeah.
Pronto. But apparently you should use, if you're going to try to do it yourself, don't use your fingers. Don't twist and turn. The quills are very, very brittle and they'll just break and sink in further. So I guess if you have pliers handy, you could try pliers.
And pull straight out.
And pull straight out, yeah. But, you know, you're in for a lot of work and heartache and pain on your dog.
Well, here's Betsy in River Falls with something for us. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. I am 5 feet tall, and I'm kind of an old lady, and I was at a horse show in Stillwater, just being an observer and watching around, and all of a sudden there was a horse that broke away from its runner and was running loose and running right toward where I was sort of standing, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make myself as big as I can, and I stuck my little arms up as high as I could and spread my legs and was just going, whoa, 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 and I was running up, and I stopped sort of in front of me, and I grabbed his halter and led him back to the people, and they said, wow, that was really impressive. I thought, wow, it was really impressive, too, I think so, and it was fun. It was just like, woohoo.
Wow.
What a adrenaline rush.
I'm impressed that you have that, sort of that was your intuition, to just look big.
Yes, and the only way I'm going to stop it, and there were little kids around. I didn't want them to get hurt, so.
Yeah, well,
oh
good
God.
For you, Betsy.
Good job.
Well, that's, and you mentioned horses or write about horses as one chapter in your book.
I do. Horses, you know, everyone loves horses. We grow up as little kids just being in awe of horses and they're majestic, beautiful animals. And I didn't really know this until I spoke with an ER doctor in Washington State, but apparently, at least in his ER room, more people come into the emergency room for horse-related injuries than they do for motorcycle accidents. And he said they look just as bad. So a horse can do some damage. Apparently, one in five riders is injured from a fall, and one in three from just standing near a horse. You know, they're beautiful but strong animals, so you want to be careful around them, and just be gentle. Wear a helmet, whether you're in the saddle or just standing on the ground next to it, one study advised. And, you know, you definitely don't want to be behind it. We all know that, but you don't necessarily want to be to its side either. Its legs are pretty strong. You kind of want to stay in front of it, below its face, and out of its blind spot.
And you, one of the things that I noticed in reading about that particular chapter was if they look like they are going to kiss you, that's not a good sign, actually. You don't want to pucker up and give a kiss because that's a sign that they're ready to bite.
Yeah, that's what I thought was funny. Apparently it's called lipping. if a horse is lipping you, that's not, it's not trying to make a move. It's about to bite you. So
yeah,
I would not go in for the kiss yourself.
Let's go to Helen in West Salem. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I have a bear story. A few years ago, my husband and I were vacationing in the Porcupine Mountains in northern Michigan.
Yep.
And we had hiked into a cabin, and the mosquitoes were terrible, so we were wearing mosquito nets over our faces. And so we got to the cabin, and he went out immediately to get some wood. Well, there was a bench right there, so I sat on the bench and kind of dozed a little bit, and I opened my eyes, and here is a black bear, not more than 3 feet in front of me, looking at me. And I was so startled, I jumped up, and the bear was startled, and he jumped back, and I ran to the cabin. And I was not supposed to run. What I did, I grabbed a pan and a spoon and beat on it so that my husband would, so the bear would leave, and my husband would be safe. But that, I thought about that different times, how I jumped and he jumped. But
yeah, you're both equally startled. I mean, no one wants anyone to do with anyone. they don't want to be near you either. But 3 feet,
I think,
close.
I didn't know what I was because I had that net over my face.
Yeah, and you were sleeping, so you were still. Yeah, he was probably just curious.
Yeah, right.
What the heck is this? Thanks, Helen. Thanks for calling. Well, let's see. We've got Nick in Madison with another story that might relate to bears. Hi, Nick.
Hi there. Another bear story. So, back years ago, my friend and I and our wives were up in Quetico, Canada, and we were camping on a small island, and we were out fishing at the time, and then when we came back, there's a sow with her two cubs in our campsite.
No.
And the lady said, "We're not camping here." But it was at the end of the day, and we didn't have enough time, so my friend and I decided to do a drive and scare the bears off the island. And so I only had my fillet knife in my hand for protection. And I look over during the drive, and she's up on her haunches looking at me about 25 yards away. And I called my friend over, and we yelled, and she wasn't moving at all. So we suspected the cubs were nearby. And since one of us has to move towards her to scare her, I told my friend, pick a number between 1 and 2. Well, he picked the number, and I lost.
Oh, I would have had him losing regardless.
So I made a move towards her. I only took one step, and... I took off. When I hit that shore, I dove under the water and held my breath for the longest time.
Wow.
And I come up, and the three bears beat me to the shoreline. They were headed for another island.
So you got rid of the bears in a probably not the best way to do it, but it worked anyway.
I mean, bears can go in the water. They could have followed you, but they didn't.
Well, that's how they got over to the island in the first place. They swam, so there you go. Well, Nick, that's a story you never forget. Thank you very much for calling. You know what? Here's another bear story. We have a lot of bear in Wisconsin, but then what we're hearing a lot of is people who are elsewhere other than in Wisconsin running into bears, other than my story. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Okay, I've got a lot of bear stories, but you're not going to have enough time to hear them all. Okay, I'm up in a cabin. I get as high as 7 bears in my yard during the year, and I photograph bears. I work for the DNR part-time for Maggie Kellhofer over at the park my land butts up to that. Okay, and I photograph bears all over. But the most interesting, I got a lot of photographs, and I'm backing everything I have with photographs. Okay, on also boat landing 13 in Cauldron Falls, Maggie and I were out there, and I saw a bear, and I photographed her. Okay, and I went back out there again after I got off of work, and I called my wife. I said, okay, here's where I am. If I don't make it out, call Tall Oaks store. That's okay. John, don't know where I am. Okay. And there were three cubs and a bear, and I got three cubs and a white oak tree, and I got the picture of her along with her her cubs up there. Okay, and I just love bears. Okay, I've been within 10 feet of bears a lot of times with a camera. In fact, I'm waiting in my I never got a picture. I'm waiting in my backyard right now with my camera. I never got a picture of a bear in a white snow background. But anyhow, this one had the cubs in a tree for 3.5 hours, and then the last time I walked out there, okay, it's about a mile walk from where my truck is parked, okay, and the three cubs are in a tree, and I can't find the snow. Oh my gosh, this is bad. So I started walking slowly back, and I got a picture of her, and I didn't have the time to set the telephone. I was too nervous. She's leaning up against a tree with one paw above her head, leaning against the tree watching me, and she's cracking her teeth. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, that's not a good place to be. Okay, and I stumbled my way back to the truck.
Well, I'm glad you stumbled your way back to the...
I didn't want to fall down. I didn't want to run. I've had a lot of experiences with...
Yeah. Oops, what happened?
More than I ever want to have.
I think we lost Bob. Bob, thanks for the story. I appreciate your call. Somewhere along the line here, we lost you. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've heard three bear stories in a row. There are a lot of bear stories out there, that's for sure.
There are a lot. They're fun to hear.
Yeah, they are. We have, do you have anything about, you've got a skunk story in there, haven't you?
Oh, skunks. Yes, skunks are definitely in the book because in my neighborhood in San Francisco, I live in the woods. We have a lot of skunks all around. And so, of course, everyone wants to know what to do about a skunk. And the skunks are there because skunks don't have very many predators. No. You know, even the coyotes and the grizzlies, they don't want to mess with a skunk. It's that pungent scent. They don't want to deal with that. So skunks are all around, and if you ever see them raise their tail, you're about to get sprayed. So dogs, again, more often sprayed than people. But one guy at the Department of Fish and Wildlife told me that you're supposed to treat a skunk like it's an African lion. Don't startle it. Let it have its way, and it'll just hopefully mosey off.
And if you get sprayed, there's all kinds of different ways that people try to get rid of the smell, but it's a difficult process.
Yeah, you don't want to ever, ever, hopefully, have your house sprayed if the skunk sneaks in. There was a guy that lived in a 4,000-square-foot home in Pennsylvania. His house got sprayed. The scent would not go away. He had to move out. So try not to let a skunk inside. And apparently that tomato juice bath.
Yeah.
A skunk expert told me, don't bother, then you'll just smell like tomato juice. And skunk. So that's not going to work. Better to bathe in, you know, a mix of hydrogen peroxide and baking soda and shampoo. Yeah. That's a better mix than tomato juice.
Well, that's, here's Mary. She's got a story about a skunk. Mary, hi, in Partyville.
Hi. My dog, Batman, and I used to always take a walk, and I took him to the Ice Age Trail lot where the wooded areas were, and he ran after a skunk, and this was 3 years in a row.
He didn't learn.
Every year I had to wash not only out my car after I took him home, but I had to give him a bath in tomato juice, and myself as well.
And you smelled like tomato juice.
Did it?
Yeah. There you go. 3 years in a row. Well, and you mentioned the porcupines, the same dog getting quills more than once. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, they don't learn, apparently.
They sure don't. Well, squirrels were another surprise. There was a garden editor who just hated squirrels. hates squirrels.
And you, yeah.
You're right about that. I had a squirrel once get into my house, and I have no idea how it got into the house.
Oh, no.
And so I open the door to, trying to chase it out. And, of course, it won't run to the front door. It runs into the bathroom. And under the heat vent was uncovered because I was doing some work. And so it ran into the heat vent. And now it's in my heat vent system.
Oh, no.
And so I got to have a hard life trap and put it in the bathroom and baited it with some peanut butter, and a few hours later the squirrel was in there. I had set the live trap on top of the rug that I had in there, and the squirrel had managed to chew around and on the rug too and poop, and so the rug went along with the squirrel.
Oh, no. Yeah, gardeners don't like squirrels. Some people really, really like squirrels. I mentioned in the book some people who just love to kind of hang out with squirrels and play with them as pets. There's a woman in Idaho I came across who likes to dress them in miniature tiaras and top hats. Not advised, but she does do that. It is cute. And there's a woman on Instagram called Jill the Squirrel. She has a ton of fans. She has a cute pet squirrel, but usually squirrels are wild, and they should stay wild, and they're fine unless you're a gardener and to have a whole crop of tomatoes that you want to protect. Then you need to make sure your squirrels don't get in there.
Let's go to John in Cedarburg next. Hi, John. John, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hey, great show. My dog got into a porcupine a few years ago, and the way we got the quills out, they seem to be hollow with an air pocket in there, and there was a suction in it. So we took a scissors and cut off the end of the quill, and they came out a lot easier. I just thought I'd pass it along.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't heard that, but what the heck? Worth a try.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Whatever you can do to make it easier. Apparently, their quills are about 4 inches, I think. So you don't know how much you're going to get in there, but cutting off a bit, that could help. That's a good idea.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I saw National Public Radio mentioned in there in your chapter on raccoons. Raccoons, and you talk about, you mentioned that you can put a radio out, tune it to NPR.
That was my suggestion.
But then you made a comment, though, but the raccoon might make off with the radio.
Yeah, I read that. I read that someone suggested doing that and tried that, leaving a transistor radio, an old radio outside. And then the raccoon just took it away. Took it with it. I mean, they've got hands like our hands. They're pretty deaf. They want it. They can take it. I don't know what they do with it. Maybe they just wanted to, wanted some company. But normally, the voices from the radio, it helps them think that there's some people chatting and maybe they go away.
Well, I know some people here in Wisconsin use that for deer around their garden, too.
Oh, yeah? Good.
They run a radio out to the garden and turn it to NPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, and they say that it works pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's great. They also at night, stringing Christmas bulbs around, making it look like a little bit like a party scene. That could help deter them and add some nice ambiance to your trash area.
Another way to do it. Well, I tell you, we have yet to cover even a quarter of the animals that you talk about, and insects that we didn't even get into insects, but It has. It's been a real pleasure, Rachel. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun talking with you about your new book.
Thank you so much. Thanks for reading.
Yeah, Rachel Levin is the author, and her book is called Look Big and Other Tips for Surviving Animal Encounters of All Kinds. You want to save yourself from mosquitoes, just take me along with you because they all flock to me when it's mosquito time. Well, tell you what, we have lots of good shows coming up. Tomorrow, John Freiberger back to help you with your home improvement problems. And we'll talk about that and a home's resale value as well. Stay with us. Lots in store.